42. And one of you men back there, help me get the lights here. In just a minute, I'm going to show you something here to begin the message with this morning. And I'm going to preach about our young people and us getting ready for the youth rally. Psalm 142, verse 4. Everybody look at it. Now, we'll have a bunch of meetings tonight. We're going to have a meeting with everyone that's willing to help with the food. We're also going to have some special meetings with other groups. We also have a bus meeting tonight. Every bus driver, every bus worker, because we're having a big day next Sunday for Easter. So it's important that everybody, that you be here this evening. We can get all these meetings together. Can't do it. It's impossible to be done without our organization and getting everybody together. So be here this evening, and we'll see what's going to happen. Don't miss choir practice, then the preaching service, and then we'll have all these special meetings. Psalm 142 and verse number 4. I picture teenagers out in drug houses and on crack and crystal meth saying this. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Now, I want to preach a few minutes this morning on the subject, who cares if young people go to hell? Who cares if young people go to hell? Every few minutes, there's a young person dying, way more than that, every just a minute or so, less than a minute, in this country. I can't even give you half of the statistics of kids that are trying to take their own lives, of kids that are 14 and 15, 16, that don't even believe they have anything to live for anymore. Isn't that something? 15 years old and already. I want to tell you this morning, the world don't care about these kids. You take somebody like Miley Cyrus, we'll be talking about her some at the youth rally, when she was a little girl, cute little girl, Hannah Montana, and I told y'all, remember over in the old building, I said the devil will get her just like he did them other ones, and the world swallowed her up. And now her life's miserable, and her daddy said he wished he'd never let her do what she did. I want to show you, give me a demo for me just a second, Ron. I want to show you, I'm going to show you in about 10 seconds or something. This is just a little taste of what you're going to get at the youth rally. And I want to show you the attitude of the world. You're going to see here an Eminem song. And I want you to listen and look at the words here. Look at these words. Now, it might be, turn it down first, Sean, and then get it up. It might be just a little loud at first because we hadn't tried this. If I can get this to work, I want you to look at the words to this song. Get these right over my head here, them round ones on the left. There you go. No, that's the ones on the far right. I'm sorry, the choir. The far right. There you go. There you go. All right. Here we go. Watch this.
I'm getting by with my wicked ways. I'm loading up and I'm taking names.
I'm getting by with my wicked ways, Eminem said. I'm loading up and I'm taking names. He said, anybody want to go to hell with me? I'm taking names. Join up. You see how the devil puts that in a neat little package that sounds so, that's catchy, isn't it? Catchy. Gets on you in your mind. I'm going to dig my way to hell. All right, you can get my lights back on now. That's all I want to show you. The world don't care about you. World don't care. Did you hear me? He said, I'm getting by with my wicked ways. I'm doing what I want to and I'm getting away with it. You see how the devil, the Bible said in the last days that they'd be deceived and being deceived. While he's deceiving you, the devil's deceiving him. He ain't getting by. He's not getting by. There's a judgment day coming, and little Mathis, whatever his name is, his real name is Mathis, it ain't Eminem, will stand before God, and God will say, open the book, and God will have his book out, and his name will not be there, and he'll scream for mercy, but there'll be no mercy. Ladies and gentlemen, he's not getting by with his wicked way. He said, I'm loading up a crowd. Who wants to go? I'm loading me up a busload. Come on, kid, get on board. I'm telling you, the world don't care about you. I want to tell you something else this morning. The devil don't care about you. The devil has no mercy on you. The number one cause of death among young people today in America is overdosing on painkillers. You see how smart the devil is? He knows people scared to go out here to a crack house somewhere or buy heroin or something because he's afraid you get caught. So you know what he's done? He's put it in oxycodone and made it legal. That's how smart the devil is. So when you get hurt, you go to the doctor and you say, my back's hurting, they prescribe you oxycodone, and which is heroin, people. That's what it is. And Percocet and Vicodin and all that. I'm not fussing at you. If you have to take medicine for pain, that's different. But I'm talking about people will kill for it. People will do anything. And you get addicted. I talked to a young man one time. He said, I have to take so many Percocets every hour just to feel normal. Not to get high, just to be normal. Because see, here's normal. And when you get high, you go up like this. But here's what happens. When you come down, you don't stop there. You go way down here somewhere. Here, and you have to take drugs just to get up here and feel like your normal self. I'm telling you, the devil don't care about you. The world don't care about you. Are you teenagers listening to me this morning? The world don't care if you die. Who cares if they die? They don't even believe there's a hell. They don't even believe there's a place where people go. Now, I want to tell you this morning, who cares if teenagers go to hell? Who cares if teenagers go to hell? I want to say first of all this morning, Jesus cares. Jesus cares. I like that old song that says, oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. Now his heart is touched with my grief. When the way is dreary and the long night's weary, I'm glad, thank God, Jesus cares. I sure am glad that night at Nebo Baptist Church up there, when I fell on that altar as an 18-year-old boy, I'm glad there's somebody up there that cared about me. Let me tell you something this morning. Watch it. When you see that right there? You see that right there? That's the truth. Jesus is the answer to all your problems. You may have problems at school. You may have problems with your mama. You may have problems with your school teachers. You may have problems with drugs or alcohol. I'm telling you this morning, young people, Jesus is, and a new boyfriend ain't your answer. Another girlfriend, they're the same as all, they're sorry as all the rest of them. I'm telling you, right there is the answer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bring it to the Lord this morning. His love. He carried a cross. Nobody else ever loved you that much. I meet a lot of teenagers sometime and they say, it feels like nobody cares about me. I just feel like nobody cares about me. My mama don't care. You've heard me tell that story before that one night we was in Marion and me and somebody was driving up the street and I had a little Toyota truck and it snowed. And it snowed and I was going to check out the parking lot to make sure everything's all right. And that's my excuse for doing donuts. And I went in there and I ran the church parking lot a few times. I was going round and round like that. And I was coming down the street. I think it was 18 degrees. And there was about that much sleet on the road. And I looked and there was a girl walking up the street. 11 o'clock at night. And my buddy said, And I pulled over and I said, ma'am, are you all right? She had on a nightgown, barefooted, nothing on her arms, nothing on her head was soaking wet, barefooted in that much ice walking up the street. I said, what in the world is going on? And she leaned over and she said, me and my boyfriend kicked me out and we had a fight. And I said, well, get in. And he's My buddy scooted over here. She sat down over there, and I turned the heat up just as high as I could go. And I said, where you go? She said, I have some relatives that live on the other side of town. And I said, well, you show me where to go. And we drove across town, uphill, and ran up there on the other side of Marion. And I said, what in the world's wrong? She said, he kicked me out. She said, he does that all the time. And I said, and you think this guy loves you? I mean, you think he cares? You think a man that would love you would treat you like that? That just, you know what, girls? You probably, you think, somebody care about me. Somebody just care about me. Somebody just care about me. You better watch them wicked boys. They're just like Eminem there. They think they're getting by with their wicked ways. But I'm going to tell you this morning, there's somebody that does care about you. And he cared enough about you that he ain't going to kick you out. He cared enough about you to put a big old heavy cross, heavier than that thing right there, on his shoulder and walk up a hill and let him beat nails in his hand right there. He done it for you. He didn't kick you out so he could get him another girl. He had let him put nails in his feet. He put a crown of thorns on his head, blood run down his body, and he died for you. I'm telling you, teenagers, Jesus cares for you. Jesus. Now the devil will try to make you think they care about you. The devil will try to make you think Eminem's followers, they worship him like he's a god. There is a group called the South Warren Street Kids that they say Eminem is their Christ. They say we party in his name. They say he's our God. He's our Savior. You see how the devil has deceived them? Eminem said, I'm loading up a gang right now. I'm taking. I'm going to dig my way to hell. I'll dig my way to hell. I'm taking a load. Whoever wants to go, let's go. But the Bible said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You know, I told you the other Sunday, there was more abortions in New York City last year. If you took everybody that went to the Super Bowl, it would total that much. There was enough babies aborted in New York City to fill up the Super Bowl stadium last year. Let me tell you, Jesus cares about those little babies. Once in a while, you hear them come when they're like these what we call Moses babies. And a Moses baby is somebody whose mama tried to have an abortion and it didn't work and the baby survived. Jesus rescued it. That does happen. There's little Gianna Jessens. Her mother was 24 weeks pregnant. The doctor used a saline method on her, which means they squirt salt into the baby's eye and face, and it burns it, and it burns it, and it can't breathe and eat or function with that salt going in its eyes and face, and it dies. But she was survived and was born alive with severe burns. She had, because her brain didn't get any oxygen, she had cerebral palsy the rest of her life. A little Moses baby that Jesus cares about. And then there's little Heidi Huffman. Her mama went to abortion clinic at 10 weeks. Her mother was only 17 years old. She had been sick for a few months. She went to the doctor and thought she had an abortion, but it didn't kill the baby. So she was still pregnant at 28 weeks. They delivered little Heidi at 28 weeks. She weighed 3 pounds. She was a miracle baby, but she survived. You know what? The devil was saying, kill it, kill it, kill it. But Jesus is up there and saying, I love her. Let her be born. Jesus is pro-life. Jesus is pro-life. The devil is pro. If you don't have any other reason for what they call being pro-choice, it's you're agreeing with the devil if you take that position. Amen? You say, well, I don't like your preaching. Well, I don't like your living. We're even. All right? We'll just get used to it. I'm going to tell you something this morning. You hear me today? I'm going to tell you. I mean, what good's a preacher ain't going to tell you the truth? I mean, get rid of him. Fire him. Run him out of town. Get you one if it won't tell you the truth. I'm telling you, Jesus rescued that little girl. Then there's Jim Kelly. He was a twin. There's twins in his mother's womb, him and his sister. His sister, they had an abortion and killed the sister, but Jim survived. He became a Christian and grew up and forgave his mother for murdering his twin sister. And there's little Sarah Brown. At 36 weeks, she was stabbed in the brain with a needle by a doctor to murder her while she was in. She survived and was adopted out. but died at 1.5 years old. Jesus cares about these little babies. Jesus cares. He cares. I went in Walmart the other day, and there was a whole big poster thing up there. Have you seen this child? Have you seen this child? 16 years old. Last seen Tampa, Florida, 2 years ago. Have you seen this child? Last seen Atlanta, Georgia. And I thought, you know what? The Lord's heart beats and his bosom cries out for every single one of those little children. Jesus cares. He's coming back for them. He cares enough to come back for you. Jesus cares about you. Let me say secondly this morning, the church cares. The church cares. You know why the devil and his crowd hates church? Because the church cares about young people. I'm going to tell you, you know why we have youth rallies? Because we care. It ain't because I don't get paid for the youth rally. I put money out of my pocket, a lot of it, into the youth rally, and I'm glad to do it. I don't get paid for working overtime. These next two weeks, I'll be going 16 hours a day easily. And I'm not complaining. I love to do it. I want to do it. You know why? Because in my mind and in my heart, I see that last result of there's one, there's one, there's one, there's one. And if what can happen to them, like it happened to me when I was 18, it would be worth every bit of effort we put into it, every prayer, every bit of work, every chair we set up, every prayer we pray, everything we give up. It's worth it if one gets saved. I'm telling you, the church cares about you this morning. Church cares about you. Young people, you get it backwards. You say, well, I go to church and they fuss at me and everything. It's because we care about you. It's because we care. A parent that just tells his kid, go do anything you want to, it's fine. They don't care. A real parent will try to keep his kids in line. He'll correct them when they need correcting. He won't let them just go anywhere, do everything. I'm telling you this morning, you ought to thank God for the church because the church cares about you. Church cares about you. Right now, I don't say this bragging because God knows the truth. Right now, there's people not eating today so that you can be saved and get help at the youth rally. Our church is on a 40-day fast. We got 12 days or so many to go. Somebody's fasting every single day. Today, tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And I'm telling you, when you go in a store and your stomach's wanting something to eat so bad you can't stand it, I know some of y'all don't have no idea what that's like. You feed yours before a hunger pain hits, lest you might feel a little bit of pain. And that's right. I know how you are. Are we going to get something to eat? We're going to get something to eat? We're going to get something to eat 5 times a day. You're scared to death. But there are people in here that care. There's people in here that care enough to let that old stomach growl a little bit and push that plate back. Listen, brother, I mean, when you fix food for your family and you're fixing a big meal and that smell comes in your nose and you set it down there and then you sit there and they pray and you sit there while they eat, I'm going to tell you, kids, the world don't do that for you. That wicked crowd out there don't do that for you. That bunch at school don't do that for you. The people at the high school don't do that for you. They don't care about your soul. I'm talking about people who are willing to push the plate back. And we've had some for more than one day, more than 2 days, more than 3 days, more than 5 days, more than 6 days, not eat one bite. Yeah, listen, people don't just do that for fun. It's tough, brother. It's tough. It's hard. You know why we do it? Because we care about you. You know what? I want the Lord to do something. I want the Lord to do something for our young people. I want the Lord to do something for our parents. I want the Lord to do something. I had a very, very interesting week this week. They have a big old book down there at that church. And they brought it to me and they said, Pastor, they said, Brother Danny, it said, in memories of Brother Tuggle, where I stayed this week. They said, we're making a book of memories for every preacher that comes here after he's gone. You're the first one. They put me in his house. He's only been dead just about 4 weeks. And they took me in there that first night. And that first night, I mean, everything's still in place. His shoes, socks, his medicine sitting out on the dresser where he knew how to take his pills every day. Everything was done. Nothing had even been touched in that house. And I walked in there in the living room, and all around the living room, there was pictures of kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, whatever. I mean, probably 30 or 40 or 50, maybe 100 pictures around in that living room. And I walked in. I went in the room. I didn't snoop, but I looked around, and and there would be a cup right here. It would say such and such Baptist Church pen, such and such Baptist Church pen, such and such Baptist Church pen. You could tell that a man of God lived there. He'd been married 61 or 2 years to his sweet wife, Ruby. She'd been in a rest home for 8 years. Brother Tuggle was 87 years old, been preaching 60-something years. And you know what I done? I stayed in that house. They fussed at me. They said, "Why don't you let us get you out?" I said, "I ain't bored. You leave me alone. God's got me here for a reason." And I walked back and forth in that house, and I said, "God, if it can please you, let some of that spirit that's on that old man come on me. God, let me." And I started thinking about getting saved. My spiritual birthday is week after this, on the weekend of this coming weekend, and this Saturday, Friday and Saturday, is the weekend I got saved. And I started thinking about how my life changed. I started thinking about what God done for me. And I started thinking about where would I be right now but God? Where would I be right now but God changed my life that night? I'm telling you, I want it to happen to others. I want to see it happen to these kids and them grandkids of mine over there. And all, I want to see God get a hold of them. The church cares about y'all, kids. We care about you. We care about you to not eat. We care enough about you to give our money. We'll spend a lot of money, thousands of dollars, on that youth rally. You know why we do it? Lord have mercy, it ain't so we can just see our friends. We get to see them at revivals and stuff anyway. It's so that some kid might feel what I felt, what you felt when you got saved. I pray it. God will get real to them. The church cares about y'all, kids. We care about you. I'll tell you one thing. I ain't perfect. People say, "Well, Danny this and Danny..." Well, listen, I can find just as much wrong with you as you can me, okay? So let's quit that junk. I'm going to tell you something this morning. You listen, I ain't perfect, but I'll tell you one thing. You ain't going to go in another church around this part of the country that cares more about you than we care right here. We care. We spend about $18,000 or $20,000 every year running them buses up and down every street. That ain't a money-making project. Them kids don't have... I run a bunch of them out there this morning. They're out there in the back parking lot. I had to run them in. They're wild. They come in here. Listen, but I'm telling you something, brother. I'm telling you, my heart jumps every Sunday morning when I see one of them buses pull in out there. I mean, I cut up and stuff like that a lot, but God knows my heart, I care about them kids. Lord knows I care about them. I look at them and I see, that could have been me. I look at them and I said, that can be my girls, one of my girls. I look at them little kids and say, only God knows what they might have seen last night. Only God knows what they've been exposed to this week. They say that one out of every 4 children that are young are sexually molested now. That means if we have 100 of them here on Sunday, 25 of them is being molested. Maybe that explains why they act like they do. They're taught at school they come from an animal. That's what they teach. You evolved from a monkey. What do we expect? The world don't care. But thank God the church cares. The church cares. We got workers back there in junior church this morning. But everybody here that went visiting on bus route yesterday, would you stand up just a minute? Everybody in here that went out visiting on bus route yesterday, stand up, please. Isn't that a blessing? We got a bunch of workers back there. Thank you. I'll be seated. Them people care. Are they rich? No. We have to give some of them gas money sometimes. Are they bored and ain't got nothing to do? No. Their house needs work on it too. Their grass is growing. Their garden needs work. You say, why do they do it? They care. They care. They care. They care. Who cares if young people go to hell? The church cares about y'all. Thousands of gospel tracts. The thousands of witnesses, the doors that are knocked on. The times we go all night prayer meeting. when it's 12 o'clock and it's 1 o'clock and it's 2 o'clock, if it's 2 o'clock in the morning and something says anybody with any sense will be at home in bed asleep, you know what I tell myself? I say, well, you lying devil, go out, why don't you go out there and tell them people in that nightclub that? They're out there partying all night long. If you don't tell them, go home and get a good night's sleep. It's amazing to me, people out there in the world can start, they say, man, we're going to party all night. We're going to watch movies till 3 o'clock in the morning, everything. You mention praying to God's people, oh, that's silly. That's crazy. No, it ain't. The Bible says Jesus. You listening to me? Read your Bible. Jesus went out and continued all night in prayer to God. Why did he do that? He wasn't struggling to get right. He wasn't fighting some sin in his life. He's showing us an example. He's showing us an example. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't like to stay up late when I fight sleep. I hate it. When I get sleepy, I want to go to sleep. But I'm telling you, I believe that Jesus set us an example. And if we'll pray and pray and pray, it's not fun. That's the hardest thing there is to do besides fast. Fasting's the hardest, then praying's the second. But if we'll pray, God will do something among those young people. I've seen God do it. I know the Lord come. Listen, I know we're flesh, and I know we're short on help, and I know we ain't got a lot of talent, and I know we don't have a lot of great, you know, geniuses around here to help me, and I'd feel uncomfortable for dead. But I'll tell you one thing we've got. We've got a God up in heaven that can still get the job done if we'll pray in His power comes on the scene. Ladies and gentlemen, they in a church in the world can have more of the power of God than we can have. They might have better facilities. They might have more money. They might have more big shots. But I'm telling you, they can't have more God than we've got. We got the Lord. We got the Lord. And if you got Him, that's all you need. Say amen right there. Last thing I'll say is, two things right quick and I'm through. The people in heaven care. You know, people in heaven care. The Bible said we're compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. Now, I don't claim to know what all they know in heaven. There's a big debate about can they see what's going on here and this and that. Obviously, they can't see the sorrow and the pain and because there is no pain or sorrow there. But you can't tell me God don't let them look over the banisters once in a while and see when their loved ones get saved. Somehow or another, He's got it fixed that He can do that. And them people in heaven care. They care about your soul. And the last thing is, people in hell care. There's a young man, there's a young lady, right now, that died last night in a car wreck. No doubt about it. Happens every week. And right now, they're screaming, if I could go back. If I could just go back, and if we could let them out here this morning and talk to you, they'd say, please, please, don't walk out these doors till you know you're saved. Don't do it. Don't do it, kids. Don't walk out. Don't do it. They care about you. The people in hell care about you. You say, where do you get that, preacher? Luke chapter 16, if you read your Bible. The rich man died and was buried in hell. He lifted up his eyes, and you know what he done? He cried and said, Father Abraham, send somebody to my father's house. I've got 5 brothers. Don't let them come here. This is awful. God, get me out. Please, don't let my family come here where I am. Listen, the people in hell care about you. The people in hell care about you. Saying this morning, I'm through. Jesus cares about you. The church cares about you. I walked in this morning, a lady in this church who don't have a lot of money handed me a $100 bill and said, put this on the youth rally. I put it in the offering and then go. That's caring, buddy. That's caring. You know, when you're right with God, you care about other people. When you're backslid, you care about yourself. Me, I. Am I comfortable? Do I have what I want? Everybody be good to me. That's a sure way you know you're not right with God. As soon as you get right, you start caring about other people. Now, we care about you. We care about you. And one of these days when all these bus kids get big, they might get out there and go do crazy, but they're going to have a family and they're going to have kids, and they're going to remember, I know where a church is that cares about me. Who cares if young people go to hell? We've got 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks. By this time, 2 weeks from now, the youth rally is over, almost over. Do you care? I tell you what you do. You can have your own bus route that weekend. Get your car full of kids. Live around you, your sister's kids, your brother's kids, they'll come. Tell them about Todd jumping. Tell them about Dax jumping. Tell them we're going to have a jump house and fun all evening and pizza and or not hot dogs and hamburgers. They'll come. Do you care enough to do that? Do you care enough to spend $10 on gas and go round up and fill your car up and bring them in there Friday night and Saturday night? Do you care? Who cares? I'm telling you what, I care. I care. And all I'm needing is some people that'll care with me. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. Nobody's moving. Nobody's leaving. Please. Heads are bowed.